to the S Words Podcast. Once again, coming to you from the San Diego Comic-Con floor, I'm Dominic Nguyen, and with me today is real-life comics artist Greg Dean, an old friend.
Artist is a bit of a strong word, I think.
What would you call yourself?
Professional hack.
Good enough. All right, so anyway, I've known you forever, and interviewing you is kind of awkward, so let's just tell stories and random things. So what's up?
Oh, I'm exhausted and want to, well, I was going to say kill myself, but I think the show will kill me first, so we'll see how that works out.
You're having a wonderful Comic-Con, then.
I love Comic-Con.
Every year.
So very much.
Every year, in and out. is there anything you're still looking forward to here, or are you just going to be behind this table
the entire time? I make a point not to really work myself up for anything at the show, because I'm chained to the table. If I'm not here, I'm not selling anything, so I don't even look at the program. I know cool stuff's going on. I have no idea.
All right. Spoken like a true salesman, huh, Greg?
Sure.
So anyway, tell us a little bit about Blank Label.
Well, for those who don't know, Blank Label is... I would call us an informal collection of cartoonists that got together and said, we each have something to share with each other. Some people are good at one, you know, form of business. Some people have talents with another.
Some people like to draw their characters groping you.
And I like to have them draw their characters groping me. That's kind of a perk, I think. with us here is Hawk from Apple Geeks.
Hello, Hawk. How have you been?
Because I think when you gave it to me, the time it was like under a deadline.
Secrets from the San Diego Comic-Con floor. Hawk doing Greg Dean's book 2 cover.
It's not a secret. I was open about that.
I know, anyway.
Okay.
I'm making it even better.
Okay.
With boobs.
If you manage to work it in, I will.
A scoop.
I'll put it in.
Cover now with boob. So okay. As we were saying, you made it a point not to do anything at the Comic-Con. What was the last thing you remember doing at Comic-Con?
Oh, it must have been many, many years ago.
As a Comic-Con at least attendee, or at least from getting out behind this table.
God, it was a panel, but I can't even remember which one. I don't even think it was Firefly. I think it was pre-Firefly. It's been many, many years, let's put it that way.
Wow, since before Firefly.
But I think since before Firefly.
Wow.
I'll walk the floor for about half an hour at a time, once a day, maybe.
Okay.
And I kind of forget my glasses, so I don't look too close at things, because I have the personality of I must have that now, when I know full well that I will take it home and not need it at all. But I don't want to encourage that behavior in anybody else, because I rely on that behavior in order to get by.
That's fair enough. While we're talking, we should probably tell people who listen to this podcast about the first time we met, because that's just a fun story in general.
Well, I don't think it was the first time we met. The first time we met, you didn't actually realize who I was. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the first time at Comic-Con. So, yeah, the first time we met was Fanime 2003?
Four?
Two, I think. 2002.
Okay.
And I had hair down to my... chin, as I recall. I had the hippie hair.
You did have hippie hair.
And we were in line for a panel, and I said, are you Dom?
And I said, no.
And I, oh, okay, that's fine.
And then the problem was it was a webcomics panel, and so, you know, right when the panel ended, the previous panel ended, I sat behind the table, and I'm like, oh, I'm here. I wonder where this Greg Dean guy is.
And I walk up and sit right next to him.
And I go, oh, you're Greg Dean.
Oh, so you are Dom. That's when I actually learned to stop trusting web cartoonists who tell me they're not who they are. I read dossiers. I'm like, I know what you look like, okay? This isn't fooling anyone.
It's like, are you Dom? No.
Oh,
it was
okay.
So casual. It was great. Well, then also the first time I ever saw you at Comic-Con is another good story, but I don't feel like necessarily shouting it. I feel like shouting it out now.
Is that kosher for your podcast? Or?
Oh, I'm sure it's kosher for our podcast. I've said worse things.
Oh, then by all means.
The first time I saw him at Comic-Con, I knew him this time, and I'd been hanging out with him a little bit. So I walk up to his booth.
No. Not just my booth. This was the booth I was sharing with Fred.
That's right.
So Fred Gallagher was sitting next to me, and if you know anything about Fred, is you know...
He's a very quiet and private person.
Yes.
And so I walk up there, because I'm supposed to be there anyway, helping with the booth, and I run up there and go, oh my God, it's Greg Dean, can I suck your dick?
Top of his lungs. Absolutely.
And of course, the moment I say this out loud for the podcast, a woman with a stroller comes by, and the moment I finish saying this, she turns around, live from the Comic-Con floor.
History repeats itself. I just remember I was laughing my ass off, and Fred just had his hand in his head, or his head's in his hands, just weeping openly. It's like, I know this man. I associate with this man on a daily basis.
Ah, love. But yeah, Comic-Con's been a fun time for us. Do you have any good stories from last year or this year yet? About fans coming by or anything interesting that happened?
It's not really so much interesting as that at Comic-Con is when there's various different types of fans. And I think that if you listen to this, you're going to wind up knowing who you are. There is the person who manages to prevent all other fans from approaching you.
Oh, that one guy, you mean like me right now?
No, you're fine. I mean like the one guy who feels the need to tell his entire life story and share with you this creation of his that honestly you really don't care that much about, but, you know, they're a fan, so you have to be really nice about it and say, oh, wow, yeah, that's really interesting. You don't want to say, hey, why don't you move your ass? I see a line of people. Because, oh, those people are leaving. Never mind. I guess you can keep talking. That's fine. There's that guy.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's a year-in, year-out thing. I mean, there are usually some pretty unique things coming around, especially around Webcomic-Con, because webcomics have the freakier fans.
We tend to, yeah.
Which is weird. You'd think that Jim Lee would have the crazy fans, but he has, like, the 30-year-olds and their kids and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Well, they're more mainstream. Webcomics, we attract a certain demographic.
Just like podcasts.
Unfortunately, yes.
Especially there's podcasts hosted by webcomics people.
That's an interesting circle of life there. Oh, there's the one guy who, no matter how cold it is constantly sweating like you would not believe. And then he'll lean over your merchandise. And you pray to God that drop of sweat doesn't fall off. But it does. It does. And now you can't ever sell that.
I don't know that guy.
That's happened more than once.
We tend to have the small Asian tweener fans for the Megatokyo stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So they're not as sweaty as the large black and white men.
The large black and white man?
Black men, comma, and white men.
Oh, okay. Well, inevitably they want to shake your hand.
And so, Greg, here's something that I've actually been curious about, and I'm sure you have a little bit of... I'm sure you have a lot to say about this topic.
Okay.
I'm talking about the trials and tribulations of self-publishing, because a lot of people are really attracted to the webcomics format for its ease of, you know, actual publishing, you know, for putting out a daily comic, you just draw something, click a button, and it's out there.
Exactly.
But what about the part where you actually have to put it together for a book? So let us know a little bit of what goes into that.
Well, as far as the layout goes, I mean, you know, as far as putting it in a book, layout's not too bad. If you have a skill for it, that's great, but realistically, you don't have to. A lot of people, you'll see a lot of books that just have a blank page with a comic in the middle of it. And that, you know, for most people, it's fine. People want to collect a book. I think there's a lot of people who just feel like if they have it in book form, it's more real, it's more time. I mean, it's the same material you put on the web.
But it's easier to give to people and have proof that they've read it, right?
Right. Well, for me, it's always one of those things that, you know, when the electromagnetic pulse goes off and all the world's computers are shut down, you know, there will be proof that I have done something with my life. The tough part, though, is getting it actually printed. And there's a lot of different ways of doing it. I mean, Lulu's out there, which is a great resource for people who don't really have necessarily a lot of ability to put money up front, because Lulu is all print on demand. So you can put your book up there, and whenever somebody orders from Lulu, great. You get a royalties check every now and again. The problem with that is that your profit potential is very low. The per unit cost is pretty high.
It's pretty similar to, say, a merchandise store like Cafe Press.
Exactly.
Where it's very easy to publish, but it's very hard to make a living off of it.
Exactly. So really, to really make any money printing books, you have to have the audience in order to support it. You have to be able to, you know, actually sell enough books. But you have to print them in some sort of quantity up front, which is really difficult. Just in terms of you have to make enough pre-orders to pay for the quantity and you know, it can be tough. I mean, we're having to print our books over in, I think, Korea or Hong Kong. I can't remember exactly where, just because it's ridiculously expensive to print domestically. As much as I love to support the economy, I can't afford to pay, you know, $10 plus a book cost. That's ridiculous. There's no way. So you have to sort of shop around. You have to really, you kind of have to realize that you're your own publishing agent here. You have to contact the printer. You have to know what you're doing as far as printing goes, and you have to put the money up. So it can be really tough.
All right. So what would you say to people who are thinking about, you know, putting out their own webcomic, and, you know, what will happen to them when they eventually say, hey, I should put this in, you know, some kind of little paperback or one of those little, like, Garfield-style long strip kind of books?
Maybe I might say that, honestly, a process like Lulu's not bad in that you can put it on Lulu and get royalties checks, but you can see, you know, how, is your audience a book-buying audience? Do you have the kind of people who are willing to pay a whole bunch of money for a book? Not a whole bunch of money, but will they buy your book if you put it out? And if yes, then maybe it's good to consider, you know, future books being printed on your own. But Lulu's great in that if you go to a convention and you need to order, say, like I did, 40 books, if you hit a certain number of books, you actually get a price break. So it gets to the point where you can potentially make a profit, even with Lulu.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to be able to print color books through Lulu very cheaply. I mean, the color books are ridiculously expensive. But I've got here a 180-page black and white book for a reasonable price, for what it is, you know?
And this was through
Lulu.
Okay, this was through Lulu.
This book here was through Lulu, yeah.
All right, your little Cliff's Notes.
Yeah.
Sorry, Greg's Notes.
Greg's Notes.
Greg
I can't
Real
say
Life
Cliff's
Comics.
Notes, because that's a trademark.
Yes.
I can use every design element they possibly use.
But you can't use the name Cliff's Notes.
Right. Until someone from Cliff's Notes actually comes and finds me and sends me a cease and desist, I'm doing this.
Ah, the internet. Land of freedom and piracy of other people's copyrights.
Yar.
Not that we recommend this on the S Words podcast.
No. Piracy is bad. Don't
piracy
do it.
Piracy is bad. Don't do it. Anyway, so anything else that you would like to say to our listeners on the S Words podcast, a global audience?
I unfortunately don't know a whole lot about the S Word. I haven't listened to it.
That's
so I
okay.
don't know what the audience is.
It just means that you're
se.
A horrible person.
It does. I mean, I will fully attest to the fact that I'm a horrible person. You know me well enough to know that's true.
Oh, yeah.
So I would say if you're not at Comic-Con, why not? That's a pretty good one. I mean, I'll be honest. I like exhibiting, but if I had the spending money and I wasn't tied to a booth, I would really like to walk around and buy a whole bunch of useless crap.
Hey. That gunmetal Iron Man with the lights and everything, that is not useless.
No, it's not pointless. It's useless. I don't see a use for it.
Because it's awesome. That's a use.
It's useful in being awesome. It's instrumental in its awesomeness.
Yes.
Awesomitude.
Yes.
I guess you could get a bunch of t-shirts. You could pick your... Although I will say, if you pick your wardrobe out entirely at Comic-Con, there may be deeper issues at play.
I actually know a few people like that, but that's beside the point.
I know too many people like that.
Although our mutual friend Cliff tends to choose his wardrobe based on what day of Comic-Con it is. That's amusing to us.
Yeah, he has an actual wardrobe progression.
Itinerary.
Yeah, which is a little sad. A little respectable, but mostly sad. Love you, Cliff.
We love you, Cliff.
But
not
seriously.
That much, but we love you. What? I wouldn't do them in a dark alley, but, you know, if we met in a dark alley, we'd nod politely and keep walking. That's
no groping, at least?
No groping.
Okay.
It's a very polite and respectable love that we have for Cliff. Not like the love I have for you or for many other people in this world.
Well, that's just sexual right there. That's pure sexual tension.
It's not tension once you've had sex.
It's going to be out there that I'm gay. Now, that's going to be one of those rumors.
Are you saying that Liz is your beard?
I think she is at this point, yeah.
Well, your wife is not here right now. And I am in her seat.
And you know there's a curtain back there with some space.
Really? Well, only if David Willis is in the middle.
I think he would agree to that. Willis?
Hey Willis? Would you be the meat in our sandwich? In our manwich? Oh, David Willis of Short Pact is willing to be the meat in our manwich.
He's going
to
be the cream in our Oreo.
Yeah, he will be the cream in our Oreo. Hi, Dave. How
I'm
are you doing?
Pimento loaf.
You're pimento loaf?
I am full of small things. Small speckles of things.
Yeah, oh. That's only an insult toward me, too. Greg knows what he's talking about. Oh, come on, Dave. Why do you gotta hate on the Asian Winky?
Really?
See, I know I'm swinging some pipe, so.
Dave Willis, a Short Patch to everybody.
Hello.
That was strange.
This took a turn.
this took a turn that happens to happen a lot when I am when I'm talking to Dave Willis or Greg Dean. It always goes back to the homoeroticism.
We're sick and perverse individuals.
Yeah, that's why people listen to this podcast sometimes. Anyway, thanks a lot, Greg Dean of Real Life Comics, and the special cameos by Dave Willis, the cream of our Oreo, also known for his work on the webcomic Short Pact, which has great Batman jokes. Go read it. It also seems to have a running storyline somewhere, but really, when people go to Short Pact, it's Batman.
He should change the tagline on the site so it says, Short Pact, we have Batman jokes.
It really is the tagline sometimes. Anyway, all right. Thanks a lot, Greg. Kevin, I'm sorry that you'll have to beep out so much of this. Later, folks. This has been the S-Words Podcast on the San Diego Comic-Con floor.
Yeah, that's actually...
With Greg Dean.
Who's awesome.
Who's sexy.